Blog Talk Radio.
Even when we miss the mark, even when we slip and fall, guess what?
He is still faithful, and he shows me that practically daily, just the sure fact that I'm waking up in the morning and I have the breath of life and I have another opportunity for a new now, that I don't have to be a victim of my past. And past could be 0 to 5 seconds is your past. 5 seconds is your past. So I just thank God for his amazing grace and his mercies that allow us to continue on, that allow us to have second chances. And so I welcome you on tonight. I'm excited about the topic on tonight. And I actually spoke on this topic before a couple of years ago. And when I was thinking on what I was going to do, and I'm going to be honest and transparent. My regular listeners know that Coach D keeps it real. She don't have a problem being transparent because I believe it's in our transparency that other people grow. We grow, but we allow other people to grow when people know that they're not the only people going through certain situations and circumstances. So this week had been pretty hectic for me. It's been like a really hectic week, and I found myself being fatigued and exhausted. And I really didn't know what was going on. I was like, I could barely stay awake. I'm barely going to sleep at night, and then I can't get up in the morning, and I'm going through. And it's ironic because yesterday I read something that someone had wrote, and it was a prophetic word. And then the prophetic word on what the lady wrote yesterday, she was speaking that there's a spirit of witchcraft in the earth realm right now, heavily, particularly right now, and that's trying to cause the people of God to quit, to give up, to run away from, to, in other words, revolt, get their kingdom citizen revoked. And as I started reading some of the symptoms and the signs, the first sign of this was fatigue, this overwhelming feeling of fatigue, where you just want to quit. You don't want to do it no more. And this week, that's the way I was feeling. I was feeling like that in reference to ministry. I was feeling like that in reference to work. I was feeling like that in reference to being a mom. This week, I had this spirit of, I don't want to do any of this anymore. I can't do this anymore. I'm tired. And so, and not from the point of checking out of the world, but just checking out of these various responsibilities that I have. And so to read that, and that's why it's so important that we be in position as kingdom citizens. It's so important that we be in position, because when we're in position and we're being obedient in our position, God will use us to speak a word, a dream, or a vision to others that provoke them to get in proper position. Had that young lady not have spoke what God spoke to her, and had she not have spoke that, then I could have thought I was really going through something crazy. I could have fell short. I could have decided to quit. But because this lady's obedience to the call on her life, and then I was able to, from what she had to say. So I would inspire or encourage, should I say, each one of you that's listening in on tonight, if you're not already being obedient to your position, then I would encourage you to find out what your position is and then get into position, because the kingdom needs you. Such as a time as this, we need kingdom players. We need everybody to be in position. If everybody is, if everybody is in the kitchen cooking, then who's at the front door? Who's manning the gates? Everybody has a position, and we just really need to be obedient to our positions. That's not the message on tonight. That was some free stuff, should I say. That was free stuff. So tonight's message is going to be on trust. Trust. We know that word is, wow, what can I say about the word trust? Everybody uses it. Marriages fail because of it. Relationships fail because of trust. Whether that relationship is a marriage, business relationship, sibling relationship, parent and child relationship, dissolved because of this word trust. If I was to ask or do a survey on what does trust mean to you, I guarantee you that there's going to be some similarities that everybody say when it comes to trust. And everybody holds trust. It's a value. People value trust. They value trust. They live on trust. They stand by trust. Trust, trust, trust. And if they don't trust you, you hold no value. You see this conflict. I don't trust you. And when I say I don't trust you, it said I don't value you. And so I want to talk about that word trust tonight. I'm not going to talk about the word trust based on what I think, my opinion, but I want to just dig deeper. First of all, I want to just do some footwork here, some groundwork. And the groundwork that I want to do is I want us to understand what the world's definition of trust is. And then we'll kind of get a sense of why we hold this word so important. So the world's definition of trust is belief that someone or something is reliable, good, honest, effective, etc. I'm going to repeat that. The trust is best defined, according to Webster's Dictionary, as the belief that someone or something is reliable, good, honest, effective, etc. And when I read that definition, I said, well, as far as I know, you know, that's what trust means. At least that's what I would, when I say if I trust someone, that's the definition that comes to mind. And then I thought, well, is it really that we want to trust people, or is it really what we're looking for is integrity? And so I said, well, let me do a word study on integrity, and let me see what integrity means. And so the definition for integrity was the quality of being honest and fair. The quality of being honest and fair. And then it went on to say the state of being complete or whole. That was integrity. And as I read that definition, I was like, wow, I really think I like the definition of integrity. And I'm going to tell you why I leaned more towards integrity, because I have a little head start on you all, because you may or may not know where I'm getting ready to go with this tonight. So anytime Coach D is going to bring you forth a word, anytime Coach D is going to teach you or bring a teaching or bring some specific out, it's always going to be biblically based. So if you did not come with your Bible, or if you didn't come with your iPhone where you got the Bible app on there, you might want to get it or definitely take notes. And the reason I tell you to take notes is don't trust me, because I'm not to be trusted. And I'm going to say that again, don't trust me, because I'm not to be trusted. So you better know for your own self that what I say tonight, you could verify and qualify if what I say holds any truth, and you verify and qualify what Coach D says, not because you trust Coach D, but because you trust the Word of God. So I'm going to be teaching tonight out of Jeremiah 17. We're going to get into verses, Jeremiah 17. I'm going to go through verses 5 through 10. I'm laying groundwork. Anytime we do groundwork, and I tell my listeners that all the time, it gets the theory of stuff, the orientation of stuff, it always could be kind of boring and dragged out and ho-hum. But it's in the orientation and the theory that we really get it, and that's the problem, because we want the practical. We want it to happen now. We want everything now. We want it now. And so we sit in church, and we get a now word. And we get excited, and we jump, and we scream, and we shout, and we hallelujah, because it's a good word. But guess what happened? We didn't know the orientation or the theory of it. So when we walk out the church, and as soon as a situation occurs in our life, as soon as the winds blow, a storm happens, we fall apart. Why? Because we didn't know the theory and the orientation. We didn't know why this word said this. We didn't know why the Word of God said this. We just know we heard it. It sounded good, but we didn't want to understand it. It's good to be in a good church that's a teaching church that's willing to break down the word willing to break down the right definitions. Because if we're relying on Webster to give us a definition of life, then we already lost. Because Webster is going to be defined according to the world and how the world defines things. That's what we're going to deal with on trust, because trust is a very it's valuable in the world. So let me go to Jeremiah 17, and I'm going to read that, and then we're going to go back. I'm going to break it down. I'm going to give the audience a chance to ask questions, make comments. I am never I'm always okay with if I'm sharing something that you don't understand or it doesn't line up with what you believe to be the truth according to the word, I do not have any problems being corrected. I receive correction. You know, I'm learning. I'm growing. I'm studying just as you should be if you're not. And so I just want you to know that. But we're going to go from Jeremiah, and then we're going to go back. So Jeremiah, the 17th chapter, verses 5 through 10, says this. This is what the Lord says. Cursed is the one who trusts in man, who draws strength from mere flesh, whose hearts turn away from the Lord. That person will be like a bush in the wasteland. They will not see prosperity when it comes. They will dwell in the parched places of the desert, in a salt land where no one lives. But blessed is the one who trusts in the Lord, whose confidence is in him. They will be like a tree planted by the waters that sends out its roots by the stream. It does not fear when heat comes. Its leaves are always green. It has no worries in the year of drought and never fails to bear fruit. The heart is deceitful above all things and beyond cure. Who can understand it? I, the Lord, search the heart and examine the mind to reward each person according to their conduct, according to what their deeds deserve. Wow, I don't know about you. I almost want to read it again because I want to make sure everyone got it. But as I read that, the hairs on the back of my neck stood up. The hairs on the back of my neck stood up because that was profound. I could end the call right now. I could just say, you know what, we got it, let's go home. I really could, because that said everything. It said everything. So now I'm going to go back because there's some things that stood out for me, and I want to just go back and I want to discuss those things. For those just signing in, listening in, whether you're listening in through internet or you're live in the studio, I just want to summarize tonight's subject matter is on trust. Why are we putting so much value in this word called trust, according to the world? And so what I just shared with you, after we went through the definition of trust, after we went through the definition of integrity, after we went through these various Webster definitions, then what I did was is I went to the word of God. Because according to the world, they want us to lean on trust. And, I get nervous about when the world has a standard. Because when the world has a standard that they teach us and we hold on to that, I'm starting at this point in my life to get nervous. Because I always think like this, why is it that the world wants us to hold on to this so much? Why is it that the world wants us to believe this so much? Is this what God wants us to believe, or is this what the world wants us to believe? I say that to say, and I'm going to give you some practical things so it'll make sense to you. The world leads us to believe, for example, is going forth. Everything is turning into credit cards. You know, everything is plastic now. Not many of us use money anymore. Yes, we have money in our bank, and even then, it's not even, for most of us, it's not even transferred from our hand to our bank. It used to be a time where you got paid at work, you cashed your check, you got the money in your hand, and you went and deposited it into your bank. Now they have direct deposit. You know, now you got money being deposited into your bank account or being deposited into a credit card. So now there's very little money transfer between hands. And I'm bringing this up because everyone can relate to this. This is the truth. This is the truth that we all know. And so Now, if anybody that has credit cards or bank cards, ATM, debit cards, now when you go to the store, you usually could just swipe it, and it would pay for whatever you needed to pay for. It give you cash. But now you can't just swipe your card at most places anymore. Now they have these chips, and most of us got new cards that have these little chips, RFID chips on it. And now what you do is you stick this card into that machine, you leave it there, and that machine is able, because of these chips, get a full profile on not only what's in your bank account, but it's getting a full profile on you. It knows your mama's maiden name. It knows what state your mama was born in, what state you was born in. Probably know how many kids you have, if you have any. It might know how many times you've been married. It may even know whether or not you're Catholic, Baptist, Methodist, or what have you. This chip gives a lot of information because you have to fill out all that information when you go to open up a bank account. Now they found through technology a way to take all this information that they have you put on this application, and probably more when they connect this chip is connected to Social Security. This chip is connected to employment development. It's connected throughout the world. It's a world system. So this chip tells everything. But guess what? We trust this. We trust our credit card. We trust it. We slowly but surely was introduced to it, and when we first seen it, the ATM card hasn't always been around, but when we first seen it, it spoke convenience. Wow, this is neat. All I got to do is swipe, and money comes out. I remember being a little girl, ATM wasn't out, and it was the Jetsons, and they had all these unique things. I didn't know what they were called then, but now I know it was a microwave. Now I know it's an ATM, but I remember seeing this futuristic stuff on the Jetson, and they had already programmed me at 6, 7 years old to be ready to receive this stuff when it came, because this was going to be fun, exciting, and convenient. So we all conveniently operate from credit cards now. We thought it was fun. So it was subtle. So now we all got credit cards, and guess what? The world knows our business. They know who we are. They know where we are. They can look. Every time you pick up your cell phone, they know exactly where you're at, where you're located. Even if you think you push off a button, they still know where you're at. So I'm not going to get too far off track, but I wanted to say that. So the word trust, and I'm going back to say this. Why is it that the world has convinced us that trust is a big deal? Why is it that the world wants us to be so embrace this thing called trust that oftentimes is never fulfilled? The lack of trust is the root of all failed relationships, no matter what that relationship is, whether it's a marriage, your job, a family, whatever. We build our relationships where we say on trust. I trust you. But then what happens is what? What we say we trust you about, something happens and now I don't trust you anymore. But then when you go to the Word of God is telling us that we should not be trusting man, according to Jeremiah 17, that cursed. It didn't just say don't trust man. It says cursed is the one who trusts in man. So if the Bible, and if that's your navigation system, everybody that's listening in, the Bible's not your navigation system. I get that. So if it's not your navigation system, it's not your point of reference, then nothing I can say tonight is going to make sense to you. As a matter of fact, I'm sure we would disagree on a lot that I'm saying tonight, because in order for us to even be able to begin to agree, we have to have the same point of reference. And if my point of reference is the Word of God and your point of reference is not, then we can't even get into a discussion. So in those situations, I have to say, guess what? I agree to disagree in love. And I just pray that whatever you hear tonight, maybe it might provoke thought. Maybe it may provoke research. Maybe it might even provoke you to take a look at my point of reference. But until then, I'm going to continue on. So for those who use the Word of God as your point of reference, then Jeremiah 17 is telling us something that we have not been practicing. And it's telling us that cursed is the one who trusts in man, who draws strength from mere flesh, and whose heart turns away from the Lord. So when we go into saying we trust somebody, and we find it a lot in love relationships, eros relationships, man and woman, you know, husband and wife, that there's a lot of bickering, there's a lot of fighting, there's a lot of falling out because of the lack of trust. Because of the lack of our ability, because we draw strength from our partners. We draw strength, we lean on mere flesh. Our hearts turn. Oftentimes we get in a relationship, and even though we're believers and we have accepted Jesus Christ as our Savior, we get in relationships, and guess what we do? God no longer is our first love. He becomes our second love. Our mouths say it. Everything in our actions shows something different. And it's saying it here. Our hearts turn away from the Lord. How many of us would be honest to say, you know what? She's right. I have made my spouse my God, the little G. She's right. I got a lot of trust in this person. And that's why you're devastated, because you get in a relationship, you love them, and you're mixing up love with trust, and you pour all your trust into this human being who's imperfect. And he's going to fail you, or she's going to fail you, because that's what we do as humans. And so you put all your trust in this person. Now you got God. I'm not saying you don't love God, but you got him on the back burner, because he's not a priority right now, unless something happens. But right now he's not a priority. We all done it. You know, we're not going to be, I don't know, you know, maybe I'm the only one that's not, but I know that I have some super-duper religious or spiritual, super-duper spiritual people out there that's going to say they never done that. I've never put God on the back burner. And if you haven't, glory to you, because I have. I've had circumstances and situations where I put God on the back burner. He wasn't my first love anymore. And this thing, this relationship, whether it's your children, your spouse, became your first love. And your focus and attention and all your trust was poured into this person. Then what happens? The person does something. Let's talk about male-female relationship. That person does something. They cheat. I'm going to use that because that's what comes up often, infidelity. So now you poured all your trust in this person, and then what they do? They cheat. And your life is destroyed. You are so damaged and so shaken off your core because they cheated. Now you lost trust. So all this trust you poured in them that you didn't have no business pouring in them in the first place, you now are shaken from your very foundation because they cheated on you. Well, then what do you have to do? Because now they cheated, you no longer trust them, and now you got to go back to where you were supposed to trust in the first place. And trusting God, as it says, our trust, and it goes down in we're in Jeremiah chapter 17, and we're going from verses 5 through 10. I read them going back and forth, taking it down to verse 7, where it says, "But blessed is the one who trusts in the Lord, whose confidence is in him." Now, it takes it a step further. So now he's saying, blessed is the one who trusts in me. Not cursed, because you're trusting in man. The curse is the fact that you trusted in this man. This man did something to cause you to lose your trust. And we said man, we're talking man, woman, okay? I want to make sure that this is either gender. But you put your trust, now they're shaking you to your core. Now you don't have trust no more. You don't think that's a curse? When you're stressed out, sitting up somewhere in the corner crying and boo-hooing because of something that somebody done wrong to you, you don't think that's a curse? Absolutely, that's a curse. But the word of God is saying, blessed is he who trusts in the Lord. Not only did it take it further to say whose confidence is in the Lord. So now if my confidence, my trust is in the Lord, and the Lord is where I'm pouring all my trust in, not my husband, not my mate, not my child, then if all my trust is in God who don't fail, I'm going to even trust when a situation is not trustworthy. I'm going to say that again. I'm going to even trust when a situation is not trustworthy. Well, what do you mean, Coach D? That don't make a lot of sense. Because if all my trust is in God, who is more than able to be trusted, who is not a man that he should lie, whose word does not return to him void, and if I put all my trust there and I'm focusing on him, then I'm focusing on him vertically, that means that I'm trusting that he's going to take care of everything concerning me horizontally. Vertically, up and down. Horizontally, side by side. So if I'm putting all my trust vertically in him, then I'm trusting that everything horizontally, oh, hallelujah, I hear you, Jesus. I'm trusting him in every situation. And it says here, then it goes on to say this. In verse 8, it says, they will be like a tree planted by the water that sends out its roots by the stream. A tree. What do you think happens to a tree that's planted by water? And the roots are underground by the streams. What do you think? It never runs dry. It's never dehydrated. Because it's planted by water, so it's constantly, it never runs dry. And it says here, it does not fear when he comes. What's he? Problems, situations, circumstances, untrustworthy events. That's the heat that comes. Because even when that stuff comes, of course, now, this ain't Coach D saying this. This is in verse 8. It says that even when the heat comes, its leaves are always green. Wow. So that's telling me that, Lord, you're telling me that if I put all my trust and confidence in you, and my focal point is you, that even when the storms of life come, even when they come bashing, even when the winds blow and the tornadoes come and the hurricane come and the sleet and the hail come, that they're just going to come, but that's of no effect to me because I'm still going to come out on top. Would that then say, when the word of God tells us that he's working all things together for our good because we love him and we're called according to his purpose, for my good, I'm still green? Wow, that's amazing. That's amazing. Somebody, for somebody tonight, that should be revelation. This is not truth. This is not just truth. Because guess what? The definition of trust is the truth. It's the true definition for Webster, for the world, for what you learn. That's the truth. But truth, we're finding that truth is not doing a whole lot for a lot of people. It's just truth. The revelation knowledge is that knowledge, that rhema word, that tangible word that jump off the page, and instantaneously you have understanding. That's the kind of word that you could go sit in church and you could get it, and when you walk out of church, if you got that rhema word, not logos, not just the letter. When you got that word, you know you got it. Let me tell you how you know you got it. Because it provokes you to action. It pushes you to do something. It creates change. Because the word of God is productive and it's life. And it produces change. And it's saying this here. So it goes on to tell us in the rest of verse 8, it also tells us, okay, so it's saying we're left after all the storms of life hit us, we're still okay. We're still good. And then it says, and we have no worries in a year of drought and never fail to bear fruit. What does that mean? Am I talking about apples, oranges, and pears? Is that what the word of God means when it speaks about fruit? Or is it speaking about blessings? It says it has no worries in a year of drought and never fails to bear fruit. It didn't say the drought won't happen in your life. It didn't say the drought won't come. It didn't say the problems are not going to come. It didn't say the worries are not going to come. It didn't say the storms are not going to come. What it said was when they come, you don't have to worry because you will never fail to bear fruit. It then goes on to confirm with us something that we've already confirmed in the beginning, because the question I asked in the beginning of the show is, can you be trusted? And what kind of question is that? Because I'm sure most people answered the question very spiritually. Sure, I could be trusted. I'm a trustworthy person. But after hearing this, can you really be trusted? Because the Word of God tells us, in Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 9, the heart is deceitful above all things and beyond cure. In other words, there's no cure for our deceptive heart. It's a flesh thing. Look at your neighbor virtually and look at him and say, it's a flesh thing. The spirit don't know nothing about the flesh. And the flesh don't know anything about the spirit. The spirit only know the things of God. And the deception, that deceitful thing, that's not a spirit thing. Amen? So now it says, who can understand it? We'll never understand it. We'll never understand it. I was, you know, when God called you, He's going to equip you. And I know that sounds cliche. He doesn't call you because you're already prepared. He calls you and he prepares you for the call. And I'm saying that to say, and I probably didn't say that cliche right, but that's okay because I know what I mean. I'm going to make sure I said that you understand what I mean, is that when he calls us, he's calling us because he created us. He knows what he put in us. He know what we're made out of. And even when, again, we fail, even when we miss the mark, even when we blow it, you know why he don't get bent out of shape like we get bent out of shape? Because he don't trust us. Because he know we're going to do exactly what we're going to do. He knows what the flesh is going to do. He knows what the soul is going to do. He created us. And he knows that the flesh and the spirit is in opposition. They're not supposed to line up. Hot, cold. Night, day. Flesh is in opposition to the spirit. That's why it says here that the heart is deceitful. You know, there's... We don't understand it. There's no cure. Who can understand it? And then it goes on to tell us that the Lord searches the heart and he examines the mind to reward each person according to their conduct, according to what their deeds deserve. This speaks to me. So oftentimes, we are always comparing ourselves to others. And I believe that comparison, the spirit of comparison came from, I believe, now this is a Coach D belief. This is not, you know, I wouldn't necessarily say this is a biblical, this is my understanding, or maybe I should say my revelation. But Genesis 3, at the sin of man, because they didn't even know. Prior to missing the mark, they didn't even know they were naked. They never even knew they were naked. They didn't know. They didn't have to trust each other because they were trusting God. And that's all they should have been trusting until it's obvious that Eve began to trust the serpent, the enemy. She trusted the enemy enough to cause her to do something that she wasn't supposed to do. Somebody can't get you to do something that you ain't supposed to do unless you trust them. So I would have to say that in Genesis 3 is where the first situation of inappropriate trust took place. And then from that inappropriate trust produced sin. And sin then brought in a whole lot of other spirits. See, sin comes with a whole lot of cousins and relatives, a whole lot of relatives, because it comes with the spirit of comparison. It comes with the spirit of all this other stuff that we deal with as a result of sin. So I'm going to do right now, good gracious, I think, I don't know if nobody else got fed on this, I got fed on this. So what I would like to do is open up the lines and allow the listening audience, especially those live in the studio. If you're listening through the internet, unfortunately, you can't come live unless you call in. If you want to call in because you have a question or comment, the area code is 646-721-9678. Again, that's 626-721-9678. If you want to make a comment, you have a question, or you feel like you have something you could add to tonight's subject on trust, dial 1 on your dial pad. That will let our team know that you have a question or comment or statement, and we will bring you in. Again, you can dial 1 on your dial pad. That'll let us know that you have a question or comment, and we will be glad to bring you in regarding this subject matter. I know that people are signing in, and I'm not going to be redundant to go back over the entire word for tonight, but I do want to summarize because I really hope that you got something on tonight, because some of us have trust issues. Some of us can't have healthy relationships because we have trust issues. And so I'm hoping tonight that you realize that you don't even have to have a trust issue because you ain't even got to trust that person. But what you need to do is start trusting God, because even in trusting God, you can trust God that he's going to take care of that person. You know, you're trusting God. You can trust God because when you trust God, and especially marriages, I'm talking to marriages right now, you have to trust God that hopefully you went to God before you said, I do, and you prayed to God and got God's blessings and approval and okay to marry this person. So if you did the right, if you took the necessary steps, then you got to trust God for your life. You belong to God. You're a child of God. And he has your best interests at heart. He knew you. When you was in your mother's womb, he knew you. He created you. And so if he created us and he knows us, he knows us by name, he knows everything about us, he knows how we think, how we act, how we're going to respond, he knows that. So he knows our hearts. He knows the deceptiveness in our hearts. So if he knows everything about me, he loves me. And so I trust him. And so I got to learn how, and as I say this, this is ministering so much to me because we know this, but sometimes we got to speak it. We got to put it in the atmosphere. We got to get around. See, sometimes we know stuff, but we know it only by the letter. And it doesn't give us the power. But when we get it in our spirits to know, and I'm saying this because I've been challenged this week, and even in that challenge this week, am I going to trust God or am I going to trust the situation? Am I going to trust that God is in control of this situation, or am I going to be so stuck on the situation and the person in the situation? Am I going to stop trusting the person? The person that I never should have been putting my trust in anyway, but I should be putting my trust in God, and I'm trusting God that he'll change the situation. I'm trusting God that he'll convict the heart of the person. I'm trusting God that he'll change my heart if need be, so that now I see the situation differently. When you really truly begin to understand that concept about trust, it should shift your paradigm. You should be having a paradigm shift right now. Somebody should be out there shouting right now because you've been putting too much trust in the wrong thing. Disappointed after disappointment after disappointment after disappointment. Because that thing that you're trusting in is not producing. It's not fruitful. It's failing you. We got to start putting our trust in God, and not lip service, not just saying, oh, I love you, Lord, I trust you, because it's not going to be what we say that shows our trust in God. It's going to be what we do that shows our trust in God. What are you doing today? What are you doing today in your life that says you trust God? Look at the touchstones. For those of you that do not know what touchstones are, is remembering God's goodness. Remember his goodness. Has he failed you before? Has God failed you before? Has he given you any reason not to trust him? Now, if your answer is yes, he has, then you need to sit down and you need to be still and you need to have a conversation with God, because you need to find out why you feel like he's giving you that reason. Know his word. Because if you knew his word, you'll know that he can't lie. And you often hear humans say, there's a phrase that's out there in the world, and they say, I don't have to lie to you, I'm grown. I don't have to lie to you, I'm grown. Well, guess what? God don't have to lie to us because he's God. And he's not going to trust us because he knows who we are. We've been known to break our promises. We break our promises all the time. Again, if anyone has a question or comment regarding tonight's show, I will ask that you dial 1 on your dial pad. That will let our team know that you have a question or comment. I would love to be blessed by your questions or comments. Those questions or comments are just edifying to me as the words that go forth, whether we have a guest or if it's just me bringing forth the word. It's edifying to hear the thoughts of others. What did you think about this? What does this mean to you? How are you going to function differently as it pertains to trusting others? Do you really get the fact that to trust others is a curse? It comes with damage. And we seem like we spend most of our lives when we're out of order, when we're out of sync, when we're not following the course. We always seem like we spend our lives fixing damage. Damage that was received from trusting. And I know this is against, I know what I'm saying on tonight is against everything you've been taught. I know what I'm saying tonight is against everything that you've been taught. Because we've been taught to trust. We got to trust people. We got to trust situations. We have to trust external things. And the word of God is saying we're not supposed to. It's a curse. It's going to curse you. It's going to fail you. It's going to disappoint you. And as a result, it's going to damage you. And now some of us, because we've been taught to trust, we've been taught to trust. It's been embedded in us. Why? What is this trust thing going to do? You know what it does? This trust thing that you learned or was taught to do when you were 3, when you were 5, when you were 10, when you were 13. You trust people. And some of us got stories about trusting people that cursed us. Because some of us are 40, 50, 60 years old, and we can't get past a situation that happened to us because we trusted somebody, and now we're damaged. We were cursed. Don't you think a 5-year-old getting molested by somebody that they trusted and they haven't processed that, now they're 20 years old, 30 years old, and they're cursed. They can't move beyond the situation. They can't even interact with other people because they think they got to trust. I'm not saying that people are not supposed to have integrity. I'm not saying that we're not supposed to have expectations. I think we should have some expectations. But I think I'm more convinced now than ever that we're not supposed to be trusting nobody. I'm convinced of that. Why am I convinced of that? Even though all my life I was told I was supposed to trust, trust is a good thing. But I've been taught that. But I gotta go by the word. What does the word say? We can't be on the fence, you all. We can't say we believe in God. We can't say that we trust God's word. We can't say we stand on his word. We want to stand on his word when it speaks about blessings. We want to stand on his word when it speaks about I can do all things. We want to stand on his word when it's, you know, those kind of things. But we don't want to stand on his words when it's a word of correction and a word of condition. Even blessings in the word of God is conditions. Deuteronomy chapter 28, verses 1 through 4, has a whole list of conditions. And the first thing it starts off saying is, if you hearken diligently and obey, all these blessings will overtake you. It's a condition. We cannot, me, you, we cannot continue to expect to receive benefits from the benefactor when we're not a beneficiary. Woo, I love it. We cannot continue to expect to receive benefits, blessings, promises from the benefactor, God, Jesus, when we're not a beneficiary. Beneficiary means a right. We have a right. We're a child, being a child of God, meaning we accepted Jesus. We accepted Jesus Christ as our personal Lord and Savior, and thus we are now believers in the kingdom of God. And when you're in a kingdom, you're under a rulership. You're under a kingdomship, meaning whoever the king is set the rules. So if I'm a kingdom citizen, that means Jesus, God is my king. So I'm subjected to those rules. And those rules is in the word that we read. And if his rule is telling me that to trust in man is a curse, I better believe that's a curse. If I want to be blessed, then I better follow the rules. Not just some of the rules. Not follow some of the rules, not follow all the rules on Tuesdays, but not on Thursdays. But it said I better follow the rules of the kingdom so I could get the kingdom blessing, so I could partake, so I could be a beneficiary of the benefits from the benefactor. Amen. I love you all. I thank you. I praise God for you. I thank you for your support weekly, for tuning in and listening in, and I thank God for you, and I appreciate you so much. And I tell you, this has just really been a great journey. This network, MCD Network, and for all the supporters of the MCD Network, we thank you for tuning in to our weekly broadcast. We have on Mondays at 6:30 p.m. Pacific Standard. I always say Pacific Standard Time. I know we're in Pacific Daylight Time, so I have to get used to saying it. But at 6:30 Pacific Daylight Time on Mondays, we have Relentless Pursuit. And Relentless Pursuit is with the host is Philandis Harris and Tamika Sanders. And their show is growing by leaps and bounds. They're ministering to, bringing word, bringing guests, bringing subject matters that are really affecting the millennial generation. They're doing a great job. I am blessed to have them partner with MCD Network in this season. And then on Tuesday evenings, we have Woman to Woman with Minister LaDon and myself, Coach D. I co-host Woman to Woman, which is also growing. We're bringing topics and subject matters as it pertains to women and the things that women have to go through and suffer through and some of the foolishness that we as women get caught up in. So that's a great show. And then, of course, on Thursday night, we have Processing the Pain at 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time with Yours truly, Coach D. And on Processing the Pain, I bring various guests that come in, and they share their testimonies. They share their testimonies of where they've been and where they are. And all of these shows are shows that's to encourage, empower, and educate the listeners. So if I ask anything of you, what I would ask for my listening audience is if you could just, if these shows bless you in any way whatsoever, tell a friend, tell people about it. Have them call in on one of these nights or all of the nights. Let them be blessed. If you've been blessed, let them be blessed. When we go to a good restaurant and the food is good, guess what we do? We start calling friends and family. Oh, you got to go here. The food is good. The food is great. So if you think this food under this network is good, is nutritional, is causing spiritual growth, is provoking people to purpose, is encouraging them, is giving them hope, then tell them about it. Tell them to check us out. Call in. Listen in through the internet. Let them know about it. So we appreciate you, and we ask that of you. If you want to support us, the best way you could support us is we don't ask for money. We don't ask for anything. If it's laid on your heart that you feel like you want to be a blessing to this network, which is really a ministry, MCD Networks is a ministry to minister to people, then you could definitely feel free to give. But we don't ask for it, but what we do ask is for your relationships. If you have relationships with people that you know could benefit from listening in to these programs, we ask that you let them know about these programs. So without further ado, I won't keep you any longer. I love you. I appreciate you, and have a blessed evening.